Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta keep reading, 'cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read. Gonna be a good book, 'cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read.
Pick up that book and turn the page. You'll never know just what you'll find. Information or fantasy, drama and art, I'll make you smart.
Hi everyone, you just heard the music, Gotta Keep Reading by the Ocoee Middle School in Florida. Welcome to It's Storytime Gather Round on the World of Ink Network at Blog Talk Radio with your host, authors J.D. Holliday and myself, Christy Condaleo. Three Saturdays a month at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be here and read a story or two to you. Parents, if you or your children have a question or comment, you can call in after the story is read. Our number is 714-242-5259. That was 714-242-5259. Or join us in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on November 24th, 2012. It's Storytime Gather Round can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you'd like, at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. For its Storytime Gather Round, you can also visit our site for information. It's storytimeforkids.blogspot.com. Hey, J.D., what stories do we have today?
Hi, Christy. We have two stories today. First is by author Judy Cox. One is A Feast for Mouse, a Thanksgiving tale, which I will read. And the second story, No Shoes, No Clues, will be told by Emelina Hewitt. So I'll start with one is A Feast for Mouse, a Thanksgiving tale by Judy Cox, illustrated by Jeffrey Ebeller. The house was quiet. Dad snoozed in his chair with his book. Mom dozed in front of the TV. Outside, the kids played football in the crisp yellow leaves. Cat curled up by the fire. He yawned and stretched his stripy tail. Then he closed his greeny eyes and went to sleep. Mouse scampered up the tablecloth. Thanksgiving leftovers were still on the table. So much to eat. Mouse saw a teensy tiny toothsome green pea all by itself under a plate. Give thanks, he thought. One will be a feast for me. Mouse rolled the pea across the tablecloth to take it back to his hidey hole. But his eyes were bigger than his stomach. He saw six leftover cranberries glowing like rubies on a silver saucer. I'll just take one, he said to himself. One is a feast for me. He balanced one cranberry on top of the pea and started once again across the table to his hidey hole. Just then he saw three olives, black and shiny, in a dish. I'll just take one, he thought. One is a feast for me. He put the olive on top of the cranberry on top of the pea and carried the tidbits across the table. Then he saw the carrot sticks, crunchy and munchy and orange. I'll just take one, he thought. One is a feast for me. He stuck one carrot stick into the hole of the olive, balanced both on top of the cranberry, on top of the pea, and started back to his hidey hole. Then he saw the mashed potatoes, mouse potatoes. There was just one scoop left on the plate. I'll just take the plate, Mouse thought. "What a feast I will have." He balanced a plate of mashed potatoes on top of the carrot stick, in the hole of the olive, on top of the cranberry, on top of the pea. Mouse started off across the table. Then he saw the gravy, brown and luscious, in a silver gravy boat. "Gravy for the mouse potatoes," he thought. "I must have that for my feast." And he balanced the gravy boat on top of the mashed potatoes, on top of the carrot stick stuck in the hole of the olive, on top of the cranberry, on top of the pea, and started off. But then he spied the pumpkin pie. One slice of pie, brown and dimpled with a collar of fluffy cream. So he balanced the pie on top of the gravy boat, on top of the mashed potatoes, on top of the carrot sticks, stuck in the hole of the olive, on top of the cranberry, on top of the pea, and he started off across the table. The pie slid, but Mouse caught it just in time. Mouse bobbed and bobbled across the tablecloth on his way to his hidey hole for his Thanksgiving feast. He didn't see Cat creeping closer and closer. But Mouse saw the turkey, brown and juicy, surrounded with parsley. Much was gone, but there was enough left for a mouse feast, or even two. "I'll just add that," thought Mouse, and he carefully placed the turkey plate on the very top of his pile, on top of the pie, on top of the gravy, on top of the mashed potatoes, on top of the carrot stick, stuck in the hole of the olive, on top of the cranberry, on top of the pea. He started off across the table to his hidey hole, and there, at the table's edge, he met Cat, greedy-eyed and hungry, clawing up the table on the tablecloth. Mouse skidded to a stop. The turkey wibbled and wobbled, slid and slipped. Mouse danced to keep his feast balanced, pirouetted like a ballerina, juggled like a plate spinner, but off slid the turkey, whoosh, with a plop, landing smack on Cat. Down crashed the pumpkin pie and the boat with the gravy. Down crashed the mashed potatoes with a clatter that woke Mom. Down fell the carrot stick, still impaled in the olive. Down went the cranberry, which rolled, leaving a red track across the tablecloth. Down went the pea, all catterwumpus off the table, rolling onto the floor. Off scattered Mouse, quick as a bandit, back to his hidey hole, ahead of Cat. He huddled in his hidey hole, his heart pitter-patter. He peered out. Down came the broom on the stripy, greeny-eyed Cat. "Bad kitty," shouted Mom. "Outside," and she swept the cat out the door. Mouse looked around, whiskers trembling with fear. "No Thanksgiving feast for me," he thought. Just then he spotted glowing in the corner one teensy tiny, round and toothsome, green and luscious pea. "Give thanks. One is a feast for me." The end. Okay. Now let me see. "One is a feast for me," A Thanksgiving Tale by Judy Cox, can be bought at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books, Google, and Walmart. Other books by Judy Cox are Snow Day for Mouse, Don't Be Silly, Mrs. Millie, the Texas Terror, and Secret Chicken Society, and more. For more on Judy Cox and her books, you can visit her site at www.judycox.net.
That was great, JD. That was great.
Thanks.
All right, everyone. Now we have Emelina Hewitt with us to read her No Shoes, No Clues. Emelina will be with us from time to time on our new segment, Emelina's Book Picks. Hi, Emelina. Tell
Hi.
Us a little bit about
How are
yourself.
You? Hi, Christy.
Hi,
JD.
Hi.
My book is called No Clues. Well, it's not my book. Actually, Marcia Casper Cook wrote it. It's about me. So I guess for my first pick, it's going to be this book, and then we'll have other books.
Great. Now, the book was illustrated by Paisley Hansen, who was on our show 2 weeks ago, and she read her book, Chubby Bunny and the Pastry Shop.
That was so cute. I listened.
Oh,
I loved it.
Very good book. Mm-hmm. All right, Emelina, can you start reading for us?
I can. Okay. This is a book about friendship, and afterwards I'll tell you a little bit more about the book. My name is Emelina Hewitt, and I am 8 years old. I have the greatest best friend in the whole world. His name is Addison Jameson Apple, but I call him AJ. He doesn't look like an apple. Then again, maybe he does. Just kidding. I'll tell you about our first adventure, but first let me tell you how we met. It's just like my grandmother always said, first things first. Before we begin, it's very important that you understand a few things about me. I like to talk. Sometimes I talk too much. I ask a lot of questions because I think that's how you learn different things. When I start to go on and on, my dog Stanley starts to sing, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. That's how I know when to stop. Stanley sings and I stop talking. However, there are those times when I have been known to keep right on going. Like right now. Uh-oh, there he goes. AJ and his family moved into our neighborhood in the summer. But because we weren't in school yet, we had never met. I did see him at the park and with his dog while I was jogging with Stanley. Stanley doesn't like to jog. He's such a good sport, though. He does it because he knows I love jogging. He thinks watching TV and clicking the remote is exercise. One day before dinner, we decided to take a walk down the street where AJ lived. I thought AJ could use a new friend. He probably left all his friends behind when his family moved. There he was sitting on the porch. I could hardly see his eyes because his hat covered them up. He was reading a book and didn't seem to notice us, but he was eating popcorn, and it really smelled good. Even though I didn't like to eat between meals, I decided I'll make an exception. Hi, I called out to him, trying to get his attention. I hate to interrupt you, but I saw you the other day at the park with your dog, and I haven't seen you since. I live down the street. My name is Emelina Hewitt, and this is my dog, Stanley. He finally looked up, and then I knew why he had his eyes covered. He might have been crying or something like that. He looked at me for a few seconds and finally said, Hi, my name is AJ Apple, and my dog's name is Sammy. What happened? Is he sick? Did he get hurt? I curiously asked. AJ seemed a little annoyed. Do you always ask so many questions? Yes, as a matter of fact, I do, I said, and a little annoyed at his question. We stared at each other for a few minutes, and then AJ said, If you don't ask me any more questions, you can stay. This meeting wasn't going as planned, but the popcorn smelled good, so I decided to stay. I wondered what happened to his dog, but a promise is a promise. It was difficult for me to just sit there, but I did. I really wanted some popcorn, but I promised not to ask. But can I have some popcorn? Was a question. I thought for a moment and said, does smell good. Do you want some? AJ asked as he leaned toward me, still reading his book. I wondered why he did that. If I did that, the popcorn would probably be scattered all over the place. AJ began reading his book out loud. Stanley seemed to enjoy AJ reading to him. I would have rather had a conversation, but that wasn't going to happen. A few days later, I started private detective school. Guess who was sitting right next to me? It was AJ. You can imagine how surprised I was to see him there, and he was very surprised to see me. He sat at his desk next to me, and Stanley sat between us. The first few days of private detective school were pretty easy, because our teacher, Detective Duke Dachshund III, didn't think we were ready to be detectives. Finally, after talking and talking and more talking, I convinced our teacher we were ready to learn how to solve crimes. So we started our training, and AJ and I were at the top of the class. I was not surprised, but it seemed like everyone else was, especially Detective Duke Dachshund. Never underestimate a girl with a plan. That was another one of my grandmother's favorite things. During our class, it seemed like AJ started getting used to me. He didn't seem to mind some of my questions, but he didn't answer them either. Well, there you have it. AJ and I were very different. But we were friends. Soon we would graduate from private detective school. We would both be private detectives, and I knew that's when the fun would begin. It happened just a little bit sooner than I imagined, but like my grandmother always used to say, you can plan your future, but life happens anyway. I'm not quite sure what that means. When I get older, I will not only remember the things my grandmother said, but I will understand them. There goes Stanley singing, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. It was Wednesday, library day. AJ and I were both reading. Well, actually, I wasn't reading. I was sightseeing, which really meant not reading, just looking at the pictures. I love sightseeing. All of a sudden, a boy in the back of the room shouted out, Someone has stolen one of my sneakers. I jumped up from the back of the room. While AJ didn't even seem to hear the boy shout, that's AJ when he concentrates. I can help, I called out as I stood before the boy. I'm Emelina Hewitt. I'm a private detective. My motto is, if it's out there, I can find it. Have you ever heard of me? Nope, he answered, never have. You will, I answered back. I reached in my pocket and pulled out a notepad. I remember my grandmother's words. First things first. So, what's your name? My name is Frankie Finkel, and my mother is going to be very mad at me if I don't find my shoe. I just got them yesterday. Can you help? I know how it is, I said to him. I lost a pair of shoes one day, and boy, was my mom mad. I didn't find them, and well, that night I didn't get to watch TV or anything else. Suddenly, Stanley appeared singing. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. Uh-oh, he was right. I needed to do my job and stop talking. I was on my way back to tell AJ what had happened when Miss Bookmark, the librarian, tapped me on the shoulder. I certainly hope you can solve our problem, she whispered in my ear. Our problem? What exactly do you mean by that, Miss Bookmark? This isn't the first sneaker that's disappeared this week. Aha, I said. I continued to write in my notepad. It's a good thing I watched a lot of TV, and I listened to every thing Dr. Detective Duke Doctrine said at a private detective school meeting, because I was ready to take on this case. So with pride, I put my hands on my hips and looked at Miss Bookmark with all the confidence in the world. Have no fear. Emelina Hewitt is here, I said, and then I flexed my muscles and walked away. I was so busy flexing my muscles, I didn't realize AJ was right behind me. He didn't look happy. Did I hear you say you're going to take a case, he asked. You most certainly did, I said, feeling pretty good about my decision. But we haven't finished school yet, AJ. We're not ready to take a case. We're almost finished with detective school. Someone took a boy named Frankie Finkel's sneaker. All we have to do is find it. How hard can that be? We didn't have enough experience, but in fact we didn't have any experience, AJ said, as he reached into his pocket and took out a candy bar. Want some? He asked. No, thanks, not right now. I have to finish my notes. How can you eat at a time like this? It's our very first case. Aren't you excited? Aren't you even a little bit scared? AJ asked while still munching on his candy bar. No way, we can do this. Have a little faith, I answered. I wasn't scared. In fact, I never even thought about being scared until AJ brought it up. Well, I might have been a little scared, but I wasn't going to tell him. AJ and I began to search the library for clues. When we finished, we were clueless. No clues, no shoes. It was then I knew it was going to be a lot harder than I thought. That's the idea. Then the idea of the century came to me. Why not check the lost and found? Last year, I lost 5 pair of gloves, 3 scarves, 4 pens, 2 pair of sunglasses, 4 hats, and 2 notebooks. This year, I was much more responsible and hadn't lost a thing. Of course, school just started a few weeks earlier. So there we were at the Lost and Found. It was quite a big box, a lot bigger than last year. I reached inside and pulled out a couple of socks. Let me tell you, they were really smelly. I had to hold my breath until then I took a whiff. Your turn, I said to AJ as he waited for me to finish. AJ dug so deep into the box that he almost fell in. Look what I found, he said as he pulled up a pencil case and a bag of cookies. Better throw them back in the box, I said, or better yet, throw them in the garbage. Who wants a bag of stale cookies? They're mine. I lost them the first day of school, AJ said as he got ready to open the bag of cookies. Are you always this hungry? I asked. Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm always hungry. AJ was getting annoyed. Do you have to keep asking so many questions? That's just part of my personality. My grandmother used to say, I was a very curious little girl with a gigantic imagination. I suggested we eat lunch, hoping AJ would stop being so grumpy. The more he ate, the less grumpy he was. Okay, I got it. I won't ask any questions for the rest of the day. How's that? I don't think that will happen, AJ mumbled to himself. Me either, Stanley added. AJ stopped walking. He was stunned. Emelina, did you hear that? Yes. Hear what? I asked, pretending not to know what he was asking. Did Stanley say something? I just wanted to laugh, but I kept a straight face. Stanley talk? No way, he doesn't talk. I think if you had too much candy, your brain is candy clogged. Candy clogged? What does that mean? It means you need to eat more fruit and you need to stop munching on junk food, I said. Luckily, AJ was thinking only about lunch, so the question about Stanley was passed over. After lunch, AJ and I started to walk back to school, but AJ seemed a little down in the dumps. AJ began to walk quickly and furiously, like he was in a hurry. Hey, AJ, slow down, I called out. When he didn't stop or even slow down a little, I began to jog faster and faster. It's a good thing I jog every day, otherwise Stanley and I wouldn't have been able to keep up with him. We did end up making it to the playground in record time. Finally, AJ stopped running. I'm sorry, he said as he sat down in the grass and wiped the tears from his eyes. It's about my dog, Sammy. He died a couple of days ago after we moved in. He was pretty old, and he lived a lot longer than he was supposed to. I really miss him, and I can't seem to forget him. I don't think I ever will, and I don't know if that's a bad thing. Stanley kissed AJ's face with lots of wet, sloppy kisses. For the first time since I met AJ, he smiled. He seemed to feel much better. Maybe he just needed to get it off his chest. AJ, I think that remembering someone you love isn't a bad thing. Right before my grandmother died, she gave me a kiss and said, keep the memories of me in your heart. If you ever feel sad and alone, remember the good times we shared and the love I had for you, and you will never be alone. Does it work for you? AJ asked. Yes, it does, I said. I reached for his hand and pulled him up from the ground. I was a lot stronger than he thought. I have an idea, said AJ. It's actually a good idea. We can share Stanley. Really? Yes, if it makes you happy. Well, let's get going. We've got a case to finish. And Stanley does talk. Not at that time, but whenever he feels like it. He now considers you family. If he didn't, he wouldn't have said anything. Well, AJ was so happy, he made the day so much more important. I did wonder what my parents might say about sharing, but my parents weren't really shocked at anything I did. I was sure it would all work out. Everything usually does. Now, getting back to the case, we searched for the park several times. We didn't come up with anything other than a few gum wrappers and some shoelaces. We split up for a while. AJ took one side of the park and I took another. All I kept thinking about was if we didn't solve our first case, we would never be famous, and we might never get another case. Who in the world would hire two private detectives who couldn't even find missing sneakers? All of a sudden, AJ came running toward me. Come quick, he shouted, slightly out of breath. I hope it's good news, I said. It's good news. We did it. I looked all over to the largest oak tree, and wouldn't you know it, there were a lot of sneakers all in a row. How did we miss that? I was on top of the world. AJ was smiling, and Stanley was jumping up and down. We were on our way. I knew becoming a private detective would be a good thing. I even imagined that someday we might have a TV show, or maybe even a Saturday morning cartoon. Now it was definitely a possibility. I also knew I had found myself a good partner, even if he didn't like it when I asked questions. I could live with that. Maybe we should leave the shoes here so we can find out who put them there. Let's just hide behind the bushes. We sat there for what seemed like forever. But it was only an hour or two. Then all of a sudden we saw a little puppy dog with a sneaker in his mouth. He walked over and put the sneaker down. That's a new friend of mine, Stanley whispered to us. It's Miss Bookmark's dog. Oh, boy, now what, I said. I began to think of how we were going to tell Miss Bookmark it was her dog. Well, the only thing to do was tell the truth. So AJ and I carried in a box with all the missing sneakers. As soon as he walked in, Miss Bookmark seemed to sense our excitement. I can tell by the smiles on your face you two have pretty good news for me. Yes, we do, Miss Bookmark. Emelina and I have found the sneakers. AJ said, not knowing how to tell her the bad news. You two should be proud of yourselves. We are, but we do have a small problem, I said. Stanley came into the library with his new pal, Miss Bookmark. Miss Bookmark's dog. Winston, did you sneak off with those sneakers? Winston put his little head down in a very cute but sad way. Come over here, Miss Bookmark said as she leaned toward Winston and gave him a hug. I think I know what happened, Miss Bookmark said. Winston has been very lonely since a little boy next door moved away. He's been doing some very strange things. She looked her dog in the eye and asked, do you promise never to do this again? Winston nodded. Then all of a sudden, Frankie Finkel walked into the library. Any luck, Emelina? I handed Frankie Finkel his sneaker. Boy, am I happy, Frankie said with a sigh of relief. You saved the day. You're really good at this. I'll be sure to tell all my friends they can call you anytime they lose something. Well, it wasn't only me, I said, pointing to my best buddies, Stanley and AJ. We're a team. Thanks, guys. You're a great team, Frankie said as he shook all of our hands. Miss Bookmark smiled. AJ and I looked at each other and smiled. Stanley winked at me. Then we knew we would talk about it later. I didn't realize that this case was just a bit more complicated than we thought. But when we finish private detective school in a couple of weeks, we'll be more prepared for our next case. You'll be hearing from us very soon, and I promise in our next time we will have another adventure. That'll be lots of fun. So see you then. Bye-bye. Emelina. I'm done. That's it.
That was great. That was very good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Emelina. I really enjoyed that. Now, where can we buy No Shoes, No Clues?
Well, I think you can buy it at Amazon. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble. And I think MarciaCasperCook.com, you can also buy it there. It's everywhere that they sell books. And if you need anything, you can always go on my blog. And for those kids that don't know what a blog is, it's a little bit of information about whoever's doing the blog, and that would be emelinasfavoritethings.blogspot.com. So I hope if you have any questions, you can always go there and comment and ask me a question, and I'll answer you back.
Oh, that's great.
Well, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Very much, Emelina.
My teachers will
be
happy.
So you're going to be back with us.
My teachers
will
be happy.
You're going to be back with us.
Yes, thank you. I practiced my reading. You see, that's good.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Emelina.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Emelina.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Well, our time is just about up. We want to thank Judy Cox for letting us read her wonderful story, One is a Feast for My Mouth, A Thanksgiving Tale, and Emelina Hewitt for joining us and reading No Shoes, No Clues. I'm Christy Condaleo, and you can find me and my books at epiescreations.com. My co-host is J.D. Holliday, and you can find her and her books at thebookgarden.net. And you can always find us at itsstorytimeforkids.blogspot.com. You can hear our shows and all the shows on the World of Ink Network at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork. Here's a look at some of the great upcoming shows from the World of Ink Network on What is Success with Marcia Cook and V.S. Grenier on November 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Author Otis Rich will join them to discuss what writers need to understand about traditional publishers. On Families Matter show on November 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with host V.S. Grenier, Irene Roth and Keisha Burcham will be there to discuss high school cheerleading. On Book Discussions with host Fran Lewis on November 29th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Fran welcomes Elliot Patterson for some great information for writers. On a special Writing Mama show on December 3rd at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with award-winning author and editor host Virginia Grenier will chat with romantic suspense author Kaylin McFarren. Then join Marcia Casper Cook for her show, A Good Story is a Good Story, on December 4th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as she welcomes guest authors and publishers Christopher Beck, Elizabeth Black, Dana Fredstee, Charles Day, D.M. Youngquist, and James Powell. And remember, Emelina will be back again soon for our new segment, Emelina's Book Picks. Thank you for joining us. Please join us again next week on December 1st at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for The Rainforest Party by Lorraine Day and Pale Shade and the Mysterious Paper by me, Christy Condaleo. Bye, everyone.
Bye. I'm still here. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Emelina.
Bye,
Emelina.
Bye. Bye.
Bye, JD.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here we go. We